Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want to, where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing?
Not too bad.
How's your latency?
How's my lateness?
Your lateness too.
We got a little bit of latency. Is it a little too loud for you?
No.
I'll bring it back down if you
need. No.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of latency here. And I just wonder how many people are stuck around for the last 15, 20 minutes.
I just don't hear the hum anymore. Late.
What's that?
I don't hear the hum anymore.
No, neither do I. I switched servers. It might have made a difference. I don't know. I was on the server for the computer to test everything.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
So let's blame the
Blame the old computer.
No, let's blame the hum for
let's kick the guy with the old computer while he's down.
You know, honestly, when you came in the door with the new bag, I thought, he's got a new computer in there. He's not telling him I'm going to get downstairs. He's going to have a nice brand new MacBook Pro. But then I thought, he ain't going to get a Pro now. They're going to be coming out with new ones in the next, 4 or 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be exciting, man. Really is.
It's going to give you the itch.
The iPhone thing's exciting, and I'm really itchy over that. So what's new? What's happening? We're late. I hope everybody stuck around, and if not, you're probably listening to the show, but you should know by now that occasionally if we're not on, or if nothing's being broadcast at when it should be, because there's nothing on before or after us on Sunday.
Okay.
And, you know, just hang out, stick around, and try your stream again after, you know.
I think most people are listening to the podcast anyway, so.
They know. Oh, yeah, okay.
Thanks, you.
Started a new recording project with a group called The Unheard. Recorded two songs last night.
They're called The Unheard?
The Unheard, yeah.
After they record something, they will be The Heard.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not. It's a project for somebody. And so, you know, four of us are doing the project, and we did two songs already. We may do two more songs for like an EP kind of thing. But I don't know. I'd like to call it. Just go with the two songs because it's just a lot out of my grueling schedule. But we may next weekend finish a fuller project.
Now you say it's a project for someone else. You're not performing yourself. Is that what you mean?
I'm performing. Yeah, yeah. I'm playing guitar and doing some singing and a little bit of whatever else we decide to throw in.
So what do you mean it's a project?
We have a bongo player and maybe I throw some ukulele in and maybe even throw a little harp in. I don't know.
So what do you mean it's a project for someone else?
We were writing songs for somebody and about somebody, and that's what the project's about. It was a for fun thing. And so we got together last night and actually recorded two of the songs out of the about four we wanted to do.
Oh, okay.
You know, but when you're doing everything right on the spot, it usually takes a little longer. So, but we managed to get through two.
And you did this in Studio B of?
No, Studio C.
Studio C.
Yeah. Willem Studios, Ontario.
All right.
So, we had some free studio time.
And this is what kind of music are we talking here?
We're not exactly sure yet, but it's, I guess, a cross between punk, metal, and chaos, pretty much.
Chaotic metal. No, chaotic punk.
Chaotic punk metal.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Wow.
By the chaotic metal punks. So, yeah, that's something. And as probably maybe some of our listeners know that I'm a clown for real on the side, started a new project. And I don't know if I even told you about the new project, Giggle Button. Did I tell you about that?
No.
I send you a link to Giggle Button.
No,
you can check it out. Gigglebutton.com. It's only, a homepage under construction type thing.
What button?
Giggle Button. It's a children's website. You know, it stems from the clown thing, and it's going to be filled with animations, cartoons, games, storybooks, and things like that. And we've already started work on the project, and it's with a longtime partner of mine with the animation thing from Florida. And we're just kind of moving on it now while the opportunity is like pretty good for us. And you know, hopefully in the near future, we'll be looking for some advertisers and sponsors and things, but that's what we're doing. Yeah. And he's an incredible, he's a gifted artist, actually. And so it's a fun project. Giggle Button for kids. We'll have a tots page, you know, where they can have fun with really things for real little kids. But then after that, it's like the whole site is kind of a six and up thing. You know what I mean? For kids.
Right.
Just to have fun. Like a Warner Brothers site kind of thing. You know what I mean? And pretty much original content with some outsourced work from other animators and stuff like that. But
Giggle Button.
Gigglebutton.com.
I like the name Giggle Button.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It it's kind of catchy. And it's, yeah, Giggle Button.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It'll be a subscribe to thing, and we'll have the cartoons will be available as downloads from the iTunes store too. Eventually, that's what we're going to work towards. So you can subscribe to the website. Actually, it'll be a pay thing, and then other than that, they'll be able to go and actually download cartoons. And then later, we'll have probably some music and DVD of cartoons and stuff available later, along with t-shirts. Gigglebutton.com.
You're crazy. Yeah.
So.
Because you don't have enough time on your hands.
No. Just finished my manuscript. My manuscript for my first book is all is finished, edited, and formatted and everything. And I just put out a contact query, actually, to my first three literary agencies, the three of the top in New York. And so I'm anxiously waiting a reply from somebody. I did it like over the weekend, so I know at least the first of the week, but they say 4 to 6 weeks before you'd even get a reply if they want to have you submit your manuscript. So I'm hoping something might come out of that. And I've only done three, and they're the biggest places, so you know, I'm not counting on a lot, but it'd be nice. And then other than that, Monday I start querying everybody.
So the three biggest literary agent places, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not publishers.
Right.
Literary agencies who shop to publishers on your behalf.
Right.
That's the way to go.
That's the way. That's the only way to go.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you can contact, you can probably, in some cases, submit to publishers, you know, for review, but it's a little harder. And then you're going to need a go-between. You need a liaison of some kind for contracts and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And that's the way I want to go. I want somebody to represent me. So,
because you can't represent yourself.
Absolutely not.
Look at yourself.
Look at me. Just look at my hair.
Look at yourself, Ralph. Yeah, look at your hair.
I got to have my stylist quit putting in the gray highlights.
Gray. The gray highlights in my mohawk.
I've been having this thing. You know, have you ever breathe in and you got this like sharp pain sort of?
Sometimes,
and you can't breathe all the way. I've had it for days.
Oh,
what do you think that is?
I thought, yeah, it happens to me once in a while.
Yeah, me too. Once in a very blue moon, but days now. Right now I don't have it. It's gone. On the way here though, I had it again. You breathe in and you got it. You can't all breathe all the way in because you get a sharp pain. I've heard or read that it's lung related or something. Like it's just a fluke kind of thing or something. But so I attributing it to nothing.
So,
but if I die right here on the air, wouldn't that be sweet?
When Big JD's not here next week, we know
it's infamy.
Pain in the shit. It's on his left side. He's pointing to his left side.
Yeah, everything's left. Everything hurts on the left. My lower back is killing me. Just killing me. I got sciatica.
Of course.
Left nut, killing me.
Left nut.
the breathing thing. Left, everything's on the left.
That's crazy. It's
I'm going to look like this soon. Or he's going to be all drooping.
That's an improvement. You keep your hand there for the rest of the show, would you?
Okay. what's new with you? What's up with the recording? What's
the recording.
Up with the original stuff with King Friday Rocks.com?
The King Friday original recording thing stemmed from the fact that we were getting less and less gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on tunes, but just recently we're starting to get gigs again.
Oh, okay. So tunes get put on hold.
The tunes are getting put on. That's when we're.
But you guys have access to everything all on your own. So, I mean, you guys could just, the drummer could lay his tracks down and pass it around. Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not have time to get together all time as an entity, but
right.
I mean, everybody probably has some degree of time to, that's what I'd like to see.
Now, when you record drums, you record to, you use the electronic drums and you go right out your module, right?
That's usually, MIDI, usually.
Right.
So I can change everything. If I'm drumming, so I can fix everything after. Hey, snare needs to be moved a little. right. But yeah, if it's electronic drums, but if it's a regular kit, you'd mic it up through a board and send it through, with a board like you have here, you'd do like four channels probably. You want the bass drum and the snare separately, or the cymbals separately and the snare or something, you know, depending on the mix that you're getting, you know what I mean? So that you have some control over it,
right?
And then mix that down again after, like if you need the extra tracks or whatever. But you wouldn't just do out stereo left and right, really, if you have extra tracks. You may as well get the snare separately and something, and the overheads or something, you know what I mean? So you can control that. You want right. a couple overheads, mic everything else up.
I think we
can have four tracks.
We might use our board to record the drums and then just go into here with all the drums. Like, you know, so you'd have each
two boards.
Yeah, two boards. So
depends on what you're going into. You know, ultimately, you're going to use the board to mic up the drums and then come into here, you mean?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, you might lose some tracks, though, if you, depending on, you know, what you got going on. That's a good technical thing, actually, to discuss at some point, because a lot of people want to record music on computers and things like that.
Right.
But anyway, if you're going to end up taking up at least two tracks on this, though, and then need, you know, two guitar, bass. And then that's probably it. You probably do vocals after, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, you would do drums first.
Oh, just by itself?
By itself.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, then it doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, it doesn't matter how many. You're going to mic it all up. Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess you need more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a bigger board. You got a quiet board, though? Got a good board?
Our board at Francis is awesome. Nice Mackie board.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
You just got to say the name, Mackie. You know, it's like a Mac. That's good stuff.
Key. But anyway, this isn't the recording show.
No. Anything else going on?
No.
Anything new?
Everything's just...
Same, running... everything's nice and smooth.
The lipo machine is running smoothly.
Let's get into some real news, perhaps.
Is there anything going on in real news?
Everybody's waiting for.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling... It's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the newsroom.
That's a nice place to be.
Isn't it, though?
Much better than that old stuffy room we were just in.
I don't know what you have for us today, but I just was reading something, not all as recent as a day or two, but I don't think that's relevant. I mean, we've been trying to get this auto show out for a while, but USA Today, an article on the woolly mammoth. It's spent its last years in North America, when it was actually believed to be from elsewhere. It's spending its last time on Earth, the woolly mammoth.
Woolly mammoth.
Yeah, spent its last years in North America, not in Siberia or, you know, wherever they originally seem to have thought that, you know, it spent its last years, because they did find a lot of North American woolly mammoth in those areas. And it's a kind of a mystery how they actually really got there.
It would probably be where Russia and Alaska join up, probably. Like how everything else got over here.
Yeah, it could be anything. I mean, the Earth was different at that time as well. So, I mean, you know, the what did they call the continent at that time? It had a name, different name. It was all almost one big continent. Before it all separated too, so who knows when and how that'll happen.
Much before the woolly mammoth, though.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I think it separated like before dinosaurs, even, which was, you know, 100 million years ago.
I think it started with a P or something.
It started with a P and then a poo?
A C? I don't know. No. It all started with a poo.
God pooed, and then there was Earth.
That's just terrible.
This place is a shithole.
Never talk about that on a Sunday.
I know. I'm sorry. It's my wife. She's bad.
What? That got to do with anything?
She's got a toilet mouth.
And you pick that up.
Exactly.
How about the kids?
Exactly. I say, why do you talk like that? Does she talk like that when I'm on afternoons? It's just you and the kids here? Oh, no.
No, only when you're here, dear.
Yeah. I must
so you're the influence.
Must be.
Any other news?
Well, is there any other news? There's a hurricane that just flooded
Windsor.
T- Texas.
We've been getting rain like crazy from that thing.
And we're going to get more rain from this.
Great.
As well.
I love that. Dark, dull days, pouring rain, can't ride a motorcycle, can't go golfing. And you know how I love to golf.
No, I didn't know
slowly
you knew.
Slowly sagging down.
No, in, the brunt of Ike, the hurricane, of course, has brought its wrath upon Galveston and that whole coastal.
Galveston.
That whole coastal Galveston. Area. And Houston as well. They got a pretty good punch from Ike as well. Like, you know, all the office building windows are blown out and
wow.
A fair amount of flooding there too, but nothing like the southern below Houston. Like Galveston, the streets are just flooded. Like there's 5 feet of water
Galveston,
everywhere.
Galveston.
Who is that?
Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell. Thank you very much.
You like that?
Well, it could soothe our people, our friends in Texas, maybe. I don't know. Is Glenn Campbell from Texas? I don't
Y'all think got so. Friends in Texas?
But there's people who stayed there. Stayed when they were told to leave. People stay.
And death toll?
They're only saying two people in Texas died so far. Two people in Louisiana as well. Their deaths are blamed on Ike. But they say that it could go much higher once the water subsides and they see who stayed and tried to beat the wrath of Ike. Even though there was one...
The wrath of Ike.
There was one coot down there. He's an old guy. He probably weighs like 90 pounds. And he's one of these beach dudes, you know? Doesn't have much. Has a clothes
hey,
on his
dude.
Back. And, you know, gets his checks every month and lives on that.
Surfing on a hurricane.com.
He survived.
Yeah?
He's out there. Just hanging
good
tough.
For him.
Yeah.
But not leaving.
No, he didn't leave. And he's fine. Hanging out. Getting wet. But that's the big news. What about the... we're having an election here. I mean, we haven't actually had a show live on Sunday morning for a while.
That's
in between
right.
that time, they've called an election here in Canada.
Let's talk about that first. No. Okay, so the election.
Do you have any opinions on Canadian election at all?
Canadian election?
Yeah.
There's a Canadian election going on? I've been too wrapped up in the U.S. election. Ask me anything about the U.S. election.
We can talk about that, but I'm just saying, do you have any opinions on
it? No, I don't.
All right.
No, I don't live in Canada. So,
what?
I mean, to me, it's all irrelevant. I'm not Canadian.
You are Canadian.
No, I'm not.
What are you?
American. Ized.
Americanized, yes. I think we're all Americanized here in the Windsor area, that's for sure. But yeah, Stephen Harper called an election, and it's just mudslinging right from the get-go. And
they're trying to act like Americans, doing all the mudslinging.
Exactly. I think it's
a joke.
It's at a hyper level now. It's like, how can we get something on these people? And where they plan all their...
We should just have the loser U.S. president out of the McCain and Barack Obama bin Laden be our president. The loser can be our president. And then they both win.
Well, we don't have a president over here. We have a prime minister who is not... No one actually writes the prime minister's name on a ballot. It's the party that he leads wins, and then...
He who leads wins.
Then he leads the country. He's the prime minister because his party won the most votes.
And then you never hear from him again, ever.
Well,
you hear the U.S. president constantly, all day, every day on the TV and whatever. And Canada, prime minister, who is it? Does it even matter?
Pierre Trudeau, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. His son, isn't it? I think it's his son now.
He should have ran. Or
Peter Trudeau.
He is in politics. He's in politics.
Stop making up words.
It's like being elitist and in politics. He's a politist. And maybe someday he might be the prime minister, but right now it's Stephen Harper, and he runs a minority government. So he wanted to make sure that he got a majority government so he can get more of the conservative initiatives through and pass laws that are...
We should save that for the Canadian politics show.
Yes, we will. And what about the American politics? What do you think about McCain?
Nothing. I'm Canadian.
I know.
What does it matter?
What about McCain picking the chick to be his vice president pick?
His sidekick. I heard that he has slept with her in the past.
He just met her.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it, I guess. I mean, I was, you know, I don't know. I thought Lisa Conda Rice was going to be a vice president at one time. Or Lisa Conda Rice or whatever.
Condoleezza.
Condoleezza. There you go. It's all backwards anyways. What does it matter?
You are not a person to talk about politics with.
No. But I like to just make fun of it all.
I know. And it is. It's.
It's comical.
It is comical.
Yet very serious.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway. Yeah. Yes. What are they really running? What is this country? That country? Everything's a mess. I was just listening to a big program on overpopulation and everything's going to pot. So it's just going to be chaos in the coming while. Too many people. All the resources are going to be used up and it's going to be game over.
Really? That's interesting.
There's a lot happening in the world. Save it for the overpopulation show.
All right.
So anyways, we're going to take a commercial break, I guess, and we're going to come back and finally do the automobile show.
Okay.
History of motorized transportation, different makes and models, buy or lease, foreign, domestic, some of the industry in general and so forth. And you also want to take note that next week, next Sunday, going to be our 100th show here, the Jabbercast. So that's going to be fun. And I think we had planned to possibly air some choice clips from shows gone by. So that'll kind of be fun, a little nostalgic. Air some things from the, because we've been doing the Jabbercast now for a few years. So we've actually recorded quite a bit of content. So that's what our plan is, I guess, to air some choice clips from shows gone by. And the time is growing shorter and shorter between now and show 100. So hopefully we have time to look for some of those clips.
You're talking about a recap? Things. Is that what you're talking about?
Not necessarily. Well, sort of a recap. But didn't we talk a little bit about airing some choice clips from past
choice
shows?
Clips, that's,
you know,
right. Choice clips.
Not so much a recap in discussion as it is in, you know, air.
Okay.
Gets us off the hook a little. Hey. And in keeping in line with today's show on the automobile, and I thought I had told you this, I had gotten a ticket for going through a red light.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about that.
I went... A couple weeks ago now, on a Sunday, I came out here to the Maidstone Conservation Park on 25.
Okay.
With a buddy of mine. We, you know, I go with him and his brother usually. Used to go a lot more often and take pictures at different places just for the fun.
Because you're artsy-fartsy guy.
Artsy-fartsy. Amateur photographers.
And you went on your Harley?
No, I drove.
Okay.
And... we were attacked by spiders because I don't think anybody's walked through there in I don't know how long, and all the trails and paths are covered in spiders. The webs are cover the whole paths, everything. It was brutal and bit up by mosquitoes. Never got any good pictures really of anything. It was a crappy place to go. His choice. He wanted to check it out. So we did that. So it was a kind of crappy overall, sort of, you know what I mean? It just wasn't the place to go to take pictures. Then on the way home, I don't know if anybody knows Windsor on Lauzon Parkway around Hawthorne. Apparently, I went through a red light.
Apparently?
I'm not denying that the light turned red when I went through it. But traffic was really busy. I wasn't going to stop as fast as, you know. And it's sort of a judgment call. You know what I mean? I can't deny that it was red.
It was yellow. It was yellow.
It was yellow when I went into the light, but apparently turned red. And it wasn't until a couple miles later... I see a cop behind me on Tecumseh Road near Jefferson. I turned onto Jefferson and then they pulled me over. So it's a couple miles later. Said they couldn't, said the traffic was so busy that they couldn't even, you know, get up to me or stop me or whatever, you know what I mean?
Bogus.
So I don't know how close she was to me to see what exactly happened. You know, I wasn't just blown by the red light, not caring, or it's not that I didn't see it and didn't know. I know it was turned red. You know, it was a late thing and
right.
You make a judgment call and I don't think I should be penalized or at least as heavy as I was. $180 fine and 3 points for going through a red light. So I'm like, the ticket choices on the back, one, you either pay it, two, plead guilty with an explanation, or three, go to court.
Right.
So number two, I'll go plead guilty with an explanation. And, they said that we can lower the fine, but if you want to do this way, but they won't get rid of the points or anything. You actually have to come and see speak to the what is it? What do we have here? Maybe is it a justice or
Yeah.
A crown or somebody. I don't know what it is that you come and see. And I'm like, yeah, make the court thing. I'm, you know, I want the whole thing removed. I'll represent myself.
Is that what you're going to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of the thing. That's what I want to do. Yeah. They can lessen it or take in some of them. I want the points for one thing. And I'd like to see the whole thing dismissed. I have a clean driving record and it's a judgment call and that happens sometimes. You know what I mean? I shouldn't be penalized for that really at all, period. You know, so, I mean, I see the way and if there was somebody there or somebody, you know, I would have stopped even if I, you know, but it just, it was a judgment call. And sometimes that's going to happen for anybody. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, you know, accidents do happen too. And that's why they're called an accident because it's an accident. But, you know, I was quite aware of the situation and what was going on. You know what I mean? I didn't just blow by the light because I didn't want to stop or I was in a rush or anything, you know. The speed limit's faster there than normal. It's 60 kilometers instead of 50 on Lauzon Parkway.
70, isn't it?
No, I think it's 60.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I do 80 down there all the time.
Yeah, well.
Because I think it's 70.
You get a ticket and then you have to go fight it. But I don't recall. But anyway, it's quicker speed limit. And the fact that it was so busy, even that she couldn't pull me over until Jefferson, you know, it just tells you that. I don't know why traffic was so busy on that Sunday. But I think it was just, it's too much. You know what I mean?
So you're,
it's not right.
You don't want the points because your insurance is going to go up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want my insurance going up, et cetera. And I don't think it should have happened anyway. You know, I mean, I don't know what she saw or how close she was to see what happened. Maybe she just looked up and saw me driving through and the light was red, which it probably was halfway through, whatever, you know.
Right.
But still, it's not right. So just a little story kind of fit in there along with our automotive show.
Yeah, it's a segue into the automotive show.
And we're discussing the automobile today, the industry and whatnot.
And whatnot.
Yeah, the whatnot just encompasses everything else.
I've never had any whatnot.
Yes, you have.
Well, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the history of automobile or?
Sure, why not? History of the automobile. That sounds like it'd be fun. Vehicles that can be considered automobiles were demonstrated as early as 1769.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
That's an old automobile.
Right, and they were...
You think they had iPod dock connectors and Bluetooth phone things and everything in those cars?
OnStar. No, they didn't. They were steam-powered, were they not?
I would imagine
it was,
so.
Yeah, I think it was the first one. It was like a tricycle.
Or maybe, did they... I guess, is that an automobile they consider... its power from another source other than something like a horse? Was there an actual automobile that a horse pulled or no? I mean, I know that's horse and carriage, horse and buggy, whatever. But did they ever consider an automobile that was run on animal or anything like that? I wouldn't have thought so. But
no, I don't think so.
But 1806 marked the introduction of fuel gas powered internal combustion engines. In 1885, the introduction of gasoline powered internal combustion engines.
That's amazing. The internal combustion engine, like to invent that. That's crazy. And for it to be sustained this long, that's another crazy thing. I just recently watched a movie about Tesla.
Nikolai
Tesla, and that guy was a friggin' genius, man.
Hell yeah. Listen to shows about him all the time.
Where he come up with these ideas, it blows my mind. He said he just saw them in his head, just boom. Oh, yeah, that's how we make electricity.
Yeah.
Whoa, where do you come up with that stuff? And that's what we really should have gone with to begin with as far as powering our cars, I think.
Electricity.
Yeah.
Electric stuff.
That would have been the way to go.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was just, electricity, how we make it, how we generate it, I think has come a long way. And I don't know if at that time that would have been as feasible, you know, and charging and doing all these different things. I mean, we didn't have a wall plug at that time where we can plug in, you know what I mean? I think it's the thing, we've come a long way, and that's at some point already or now, that's, you know, and they are looking into doing a lot of different things now. But yeah, that's, I was just watching on the electric airplanes that they're coming up with now. They're electric, solar powered, and... You know, I guess a single man craft right now, but they're flying and they're, you know, a lot less to go wrong and quiet and, you know, and they're almost like a glider.
Yeah.
That runs on electricity with a propeller and everything though.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's pretty amazing. So Electricity, yeah.
But he had the idea for the big tower there where it would just send electricity through microwaves or some kind of wave, and then everything would be, you could charge everything up using this tower. Do you know anything about the tower I'm talking about?
A little bit. I've listened to a lot of stuff, and it's there's just so much, and I usually listen to all that stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning, right. So I don't probably take in as much as I'd like to. But I know of like a lot of his developments and things, and yeah, it's amazing.
And with politics, of course, that killed that whole thing. Like, you know, Westinghouse and GE were involved in that. They're like, what do you mean? People just going to be able to get electricity for free?
Yeah.
Where's the meter at? You know?
Yeah, right.
Where are we going to put the meter?
Where's our cut?
So, of course, those two companies.
No Enron?
Yeah, no Enron. Good thing. They kiboshed it, and they made it so that he couldn't do anything with it.
Kiboshed.
Good word, huh?
Yes.
Killed it.
Kilboshed. Kilbasa.
So the credit for the first automobile, who do you...
The first automobile, but first production, I guess, of automobiles, I think.
Oh,
so,
now we're talking.
Yeah.
Who do you think that is?
Carl Perkins.
Carl Perkins.
I know it was a Carl.
Who is Carl Perkins?
He's a guitar player guy.
Who am I
from? Hee Haw.
No.
It just gets better as the morning progresses.
He's making
1888 Germany. Who was it?
Carl Benz.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Benz is, and so then is it, does it have anything to do with him being the longtime originator of automobile that the Benz is considered like one of the best vehicles, or how did that ever happen? Do we know that? Answer to that question?
Yeah.
Wait, let's take this call.
Hello, I have something to say about the first inventor of automobiles.
Okay, sir, what's your name? Where are you calling from? That's how George Norrie does it.
No, I think that the engineering was
because he was the first. Like, they obviously, yeah, they got great engineering because they were the first ones that did it. So that's why we want to buy that, and that's why he's come to be the big...
I think their universities kick out a specific type of engineer. You know, they have their whatever came before them, and it develops into a certain kind of quality to your degree that you have when you're an engineer. And then there's the people who are actually getting the degrees at that time. And so they have a different way of thinking, I think, mm-hmm, in Germany. You know, it's somewhat more of a established, staid kind of, you know, this is the way it's got to be. It's the way they think kind of thing. Whereas over in the States, where Henry Ford started building his cars,
it's just a slap together thing.
Well, it's the pioneer,
dumb auto workers.
It's the pioneer spirit, I think, was over here more.
That's
and more.
Just a joke. I'm an auto worker.
You are.
Yeah, to a degree.
You're a retired auto worker. anyway, so that's why I think it's different. The you know, it's that staid, developed, written in stone kind of thing. Where over here, it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. It was more, let's start something
let's
new.
Let's pump these things out,
let's
make
pump
some money.
Them out. Yeah. And that's really what Henry Ford's...
And that's why vehicles, though, like that, and the Maserati and Jaguar and things are considered the more prestigious vehicle. They're built by knowledgeable automakers that aren't... granted, they make their money, but I mean, they're not as massively produced as, you know, the American, North American automobile, which is now not made in North America.
Yeah, pretty much. It's getting bad.
The North American Chinese automobiles.
Mexican, Chinese.
Mexican, China.
Yeah, so I think what Henry Ford did is his contribution was manufacturing techniques,
mm-hmm,
more than the actual...
Get out more for... Yeah. Less money.
Yeah. This
cost
works.
Wise.
And it's functional and it's heavy duty. How do we make a million of these things?
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Benz company, and then later he joined up with, what's his name, Mercedes. And the Daimler dude too, Gottlieb Daimler. And there's another guy in there, Wilhelm Maybach, was also a part of that whole German conglomerate of automakers. I think they were more concentrating on building good cars. To start with,
right?
Are we making some kind of toilet noise?
No, I don't do that.
Okay, So that's the early history of the automobile. An automobile powered by a four-stroke cycle gasoline engine was built by Carl Benz in 1885. That was considered to be the first gas-powered production automobile, I guess. Then there was the Motorwagen. That's what they called it. And then, and of course...
Motorwagen. And there are different eras of automobiles.
Sure, you want to talk about the eras?
Talk about the brass era. Named for the widespread use of brass in the United States. And brass, or Edwardian era, as they called it, lasted roughly from 1905 through the beginning of World War One in 1914. And they were using a lot of brass to make the cars.
That's interesting.
Model T.
Is there brass in the Model T? Is that what you're saying?
Apparently, use a lot of brass for the automobile.
Wow, that's, I didn't know that. Jeez, you learned something new on the Jabbercast.
Experimental designs, alternate power systems would be used at that time. Yeah, I guess was fairly inexpensive because of so much brass.
And now,
and it's a metal that they could use to, you know, to fabricate. So,
and what exactly is brass? Do we know? Do you know?
Brass is a metal, yeah, but it's seems to be fairly soft and pliable.
Right.
You know, it's easy to fabricate and mold into.
But it's an alloy of something. There's like tin in there, and then there's copper, yeah. And
yeah, and all those things seem to have the same. Thought of, you know, brass, copper, and tin, that it's a pliable, you know, you want to say it's thin, obviously it's, they make it like that, but I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty pliable. It's a soft metal. The vintage era, from the end of World War One in 1919, through the stock market crash, 1929. And, the front engine car came to dominate, the automobile industry.
Because they were not in the front to begin with.
Yeah, not necessarily.
No.
Centrally located. Centrally.
Yes.
Interesting. And so, yeah, and that's those are the cars we come to really dig, too, I think. A lot of those old-style-looking vehicles, kind of sort of squarish. They make some of the hot rods out of, you know, with the big grill in the front, and then the motors, and then the kind of square looking body thing, like the Model T type stuff. Model T's Model A look.
You say hot rods are made out of that?
Yeah, that's a lot of people make hot rods out of those things.
Really?
Yeah.
Hot rods.
Yeah, hot rod. Some of them, they take the whole top off with the windows and all that stuff. They just have the front. I think a Munsters had one of those. And it's just a body tub. And then the motor is out completely exposed, and then the big crazy chrome grill in the front. You know what kind of mean?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Those kind of vehicles. They have a flat front windshield. And then after that, it was the pre-war era. And that began with the Great Depression in 1930 and ended with the recovery after World War II. But of course, there were no vehicles made for, a 1 or 2 year period during the war.
No commercial.
So there's no actual, 1948 vehicle or something. I can't remember exactly what the year where they totally stopped, but there was no vehicles made at that time. So there's actually a year, I believe, that there isn't a vehicle made. You know, I don't know. Maybe there was could have been Jeeps made through that time or something.
Oh, for sure. They made Jeeps in the same plant that we work in right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad was making Jeeps when he worked there.
That'd be a sweet picture.
Slinging springs in the Jeeps. And
springing slings.
Springing slings.
So you have... that's the pre-war era. Then the post-war era emerged from the shadow of World War II in 1949. So I'm going to say like 1948, there was no vehicles. They were too busy making tanks and planes and all that kind of stuff. And that's when we saw the introduction of the high-compression V8 engines in modern bodies, like from GM and Cadillac.
Oldsmobile.
The Morris Minor vehicles and a lot of crazy stuff come out at that time. The old style Jags.
Oh, yeah.
With the long front ends there and the small, shorter backs, and a lot of little cars, too.
Right.
Like the minis. And
yeah. Coopers.
And a lot of big cars, too. I mean, the big Cadillacs with the big crazy fins and all that stuff.
Right. I think once we won the war,
celebrated.
Once I think the Americans won the war, I think they realized we can now do anything. There was a feeling we can do anything we want. And it was bigger. It was always thought of as better. And people see these Cadillacs and these big Oldsmobiles. And I think that's where it took off. And these cars got so huge.
Yeah.
They got like really, really big cars.
We're going to live big now.
What's that?
We're going to live big now.
We're going to live big. Exactly.
Yeah. We're dominant.
So much steel on these cars. Whereas there were smaller cars at that time.
Yeah. I had a 1950 Plymouth Special Deluxe. And that thing was a tank. It was huge. It was a pretty big car. Actually, it didn't seem so big until you got inside it. And it was huge. Like the room was just incredible.
You could fit a lot of people in there.
It was amazing. Yeah. And from the outside, it didn't look so big. It was just a big tub. But it was very heavy and roomy like crazy. And an inline six motor. And it was pretty neat.
Lots of room under the hood.
Lots of room under the hood, too. Yeah. I mean, like the motor didn't take up a lot of space.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And it was a really neat car. Sold that as a part of the down payment for my first house to the guy that my real estate guy. So that was kind of neat.
And what was a 1950 Super Deluxe?
1950 Plymouth Special Deluxe.
Special Deluxe.
Yeah. It was the deluxe model.
I never heard of that car.
Yeah.
Special
Deluxe.
Yeah,
you can find it on there. Yeah.
On there.
Somewhere. On the net.
On the net.
Somewhere.
Okay.
The modern era is considered the 25 years to the preceding the year that we're in now, basically. Then you get into a vehicle as a classic.
Right.
You know what I mean? So next year, something that's 24 years old right now is, or 25 even, is maybe not considered a classic until it's reached that 25th year. And that's the modern era. So that's, I guess, like our new cars to some degree. What's 25 years ago is what, the 83. So, yeah. And we kind of consider those sort of nostalgic now. The 80s, the Pintos and some of those North American cars and Chevettes and Omnis and things like that. I guess
think every little small car that we made there. What about the nice cars that we made in 1983?
Cordobas probably were made up back then.
Cordobas, yeah.
Things like that I mean, you know, now things have really changed and we've evolved into these pretty modern looking vehicles. And we're watching movies though with even more futuristic looking vehicles that we're kind of waiting for and sort of seeing, and you know, and it's another, again, like I've mentioned before, it's a progression that we don't even realize because it's slow, you know.
Yes.
When if you really want to, you really think about it, coming from vehicles in the 80s, some of the vehicles today are, you know, pretty wild, like the Prowler or something like that. Like some of the vehicles that are on, I mean, even like the Crossfire or you know, some things are pretty modernistic.
That's for sure. And then there's the retro cars as well. Chevy makes that pickup truck. What is it? The
It looks like an old fashioned car, or the PT Cruiser. That
PT Cruiser.
They have an old fashioned look to them, sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They go back to that, and the T-Bird also went back to sort of an older look.
Yeah.
And there's another one. Oh, the Mustang.
Yeah.
The new Mustangs, they went back to their late 60s, early 70s heritage as far as the shape and the
nice looking too.
Yeah, the Mustangs.
They got that old look, yet they're, and then the some of the new Chrysler stuff, Dodge, the Challenger and the Charger.
Not so much the Charger, but the Challenger, yeah.
But they do have those lines of the past, you know. Almost reminds me sort of even of the Javelin or something like that. They have that kind of look, you know what I mean? From 70s, I guess it would be.
Yeah, that's 70s for sure, Javelin. And the Javelin was made by a car company.
AMC.
AMC.
Yeah, American Motors Company.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's hard to think that there was actually another major North American auto company. And they got bought by Chrysler.
Was there any other North American auto companies?
Well, Jeep was on its own as well.
Well, was Jeep its own company? Jeep was made by American Motors, too.
Was that what happened? AMC bought Jeep and then...
Chrysler bought from them in like 80... I'm going to say 88, 89.
Yeah. Yeah, once they paid off their loan to the American government, they bought the AMC company.
And that's the best thing that they could have ever done.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be around right now.
Keeps us afloat.
Yeah.
Jeeps rock.
Oh, big JD is a big Jeep guy. President of the Windsor Jeep Club.
Yeah, there you go. TheWindsorJeepClub.com.
Jeff at TheWindsorJeepClub.com. Who's Jeff anyway? He's the president, isn't he?
I don't know. I guess so, yeah.
Some wacky guy.
Crazy. Oh.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. What's going on in the tech world?
Well, there's these new cans that they came out with, the polyurethane string.
Oh, the string, yeah. A much better string. So much better clarity when speaking to friends and loved ones.
String in cans. You're crazy, man. What's going on in the tech world?
Well, we'd probably like to talk about Apple's release of new iPods.
Oh, no. Updates. No. Zoom, the 120 gigabyte Zoom, that's the real news.
Oh, okay. This show's over. The what? Is there something that, what'd they do?
They're getting rid of their 80 gig hard drive based Zoom, and they're bringing 120 gig.
Whoop-de-doo. Who's buying a Zoom? If anybody's got a Zoom or bought a Zoom or uses a Zoom, please email us. Let us know how you're enjoying that Zoom. Yes. And do it as soon as you can.
Yeah. And how do they get a hold of us?
Well, you can email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com, or you can go to the contact page of www.thejabbercast.com and
Say something into your computer at the My Chingo widget. Say, I love my Zoom.
Yeah, click on the leave us a message button there, and you can send us a direct audio message, and we'll play it in the show. We'd love to play a Zoom message in the show. Promise we won't edit it all up and add things in between everything you say. Promise. So, yeah, you can reach us that way, and you obviously know that the Jabbercast is also a podcast, so you can visit the iTunes store and search the Jabbercast or Big JD for our bunch of shows that Lippo and I are involved in. So, and it's free to subscribe too to the podcast, so you can listen to these shows on the go.
Right. We have to pay them to listen, actually. We pay you to listen to our show.
So are we actually going to talk about the Zoom?
No, we're done. That, I'm serious. So they did the exact same thing as Apple did with their hard drive based
Well, let's get something in on the iPod. New iPods from Apple. That's really cool. So if you want to be able to take advantage of a lot of new technology and listening to podcasts and watching podcasts and things like that, video podcasts, you might want to scoop yourself up if you're, you know, not so lucky to have the actual iPhone. There's the new iPod Touch and the new iPod. What's the little guy called again? The Nano.
Shuffle.
Oh, the Nano and the Shuffle.
Okay. Yeah.
Do the Nano Shuffle. Yeah, the little shuffle, which you use like constantly. That's the biggest thing.
I use it at work.
Why don't you use that? Your iPhone at work instead and listen to tunes.
Why don't I?
Yeah.
Because it's not as... it's so convenient to... I put the shuffle on my shirt.
And you got the controls right there.
And the controls are right here. And my headphones are the kind that use like an extender to get to wherever your player is at. But I don't...
Oh, you pull out?
Yeah.
How does that work? Is it bothersome because it's a little bit of weight to it or anything? Or how's
no, there's no weight.
And it just pulls out to the length you want. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a 1/8-inch jack.
Right.
So the headphones come, they're like really short. So the cord ends like.
Well,
right
why are
here.
They so short though? What kind of headphones?
Sony's.
And they just have a short cable?
Short cable, yeah.
You'd have to use an extension if you wanted a regular.
Yeah,
and
it comes
length.
With the extension.
Oh, okay. That's kind of neat that it's that short.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Well, I like that idea. Yeah, yeah, that's
so
cool.
There's no cables running in my shirt. You know, you see everybody at work.
Are you going to still use that when you get your new headphones, though, with a mic built into them that Apple just is releasing?
Oh, yeah. I'm still going to use the Sony's for
okay,
sure.
Okay, so the short one. That's kind of neat. So you got nothing. You just straight to the thing there. Yeah, it's easy and that's nice. I like that idea.
So you can, any job you have.
I'd like a picture of that.
Okay.
For the family site.
You're
I like
funny.
That short thing. I see guys with stuff taped all over their backs and
everybody's
taped everywhere.
Everybody's taped.
I wouldn't even tape anything. Like, why even? What are you going to get caught on in your back anyways?
I think it's because the weight of the wire going to, you know, usually people
pull
carry
it down
in,
your back. It pulls you out of the ear, maybe.
It pulls it out of your ear, so you want something that's just free
yeah, okay,
to move
I
your head
can see
in
that.
Any way that you got to do it. I was a tape guy until I got these headphones.
Okay.
Tape it up, baby. So anyway, the new iPods, what's so great about them? They changed the configuration of it. I was listening to my favorite podcast, Easy Mac Podcast, the other day, and they were saying that
EasyMacPodcast.com.
That's right. And everybody's saying that the screen is bigger on the iPod than the old iPod Nano.
Oh, it is. Yeah, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's the exact same size. It looks bigger.
It must have made the body a little smaller. I don't know. It looks bigger.
I know it does.
But it's the exact same size as the fat Nano, though. Why it looks, because now they made it look like the old Nano longer.
So they turned the screen and flipped it up.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And they put the wheel at the end of it, so now it's just a big
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Nano that looks like that. Oh, Lana's got one of those red Nanos, and the screen is bigger, but it's the screen from the next squat Nano, that square thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But it is a good enough size screen for such a little player. So,
oh yeah, it's my son watches movies in bed all the time.
But it's still the touch, man, is where it's at for an iPod, guaranteed.
Yeah. And they came up with a new version of that
And then of course the iPhone. Yeah.
And you know what? We were talking about the Bluetooth thing in the iPod Touch. The new touches have a chip in it. It's like a network chip, and it's got FM in it. This chip that is in the new iPod Touches. There's FM in the chip.
And so, what does it do?
Nothing. There's no functionality attached to it right now. But they get the chip from their chip maker, and it's called a network chip. So there's FM in there, Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi. And right now, the only thing that...
Wi-Fi is working.
The Wi-Fi is working, but they think that the Bluetooth is to talk to the Nike, because the Nike software is built
into... And that's all?
That's all the Bluetooth does is talk to the thing in your shoe.
What about all the other functionality of wireless... syncing and stuff.
I know that they haven't added that function.
And the phones, like to your wireless headphone. How's that work? You must have Bluetooth on that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. On his iPhone. He's got the iPhone, which is pretty sweet. And how many gigabytes? 32 or 16? What do you got?
There is no 32 gigabyte iPhone.
What is it?
It's a 16. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 8 and 16 is all it
That's all they come
comes
in.
Yeah. And the iPod Touch is 8, 16, 16
32. That's right.
Wow.
So I just thought it would be interesting to know that the Bluetooth is in the new iPod Touches, but the only reason they're using it is for the Nike software.
Wow.
So
that's interesting.
Hurricane Nike.
Cool stuff. So if you don't have an iPod, get an iPod. Even if it has to be the Shuffle, cheap Shuffle. How much? $70, $80, $50, something?
The Shuffles are $50.
$50, yeah. There you go. And you can say you have an iPod.
That's right.
You can but say you get into the Touch and iPhone, and then you...
the cheapest Nano is $150.
Yeah, even that. That's phenomenal. Really, that's a good price for what you get jam-packed in a Nano. And the Nanos are what? 2, 4, 8 gig, 6 gig or something? Or what are they?
8 and 16.
8 and 16 gig Nanos?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So my son, Jonas, he wants the 8 gig.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
The Beatles.
Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car.
And there you have some Beatles, and that's actually from the 62 to 67 record album. DVD now.
DVD.
The red double album. Remember that? The red one and the blue one?
The blue one, yeah.
That was so cool when I got those records, man, when they came out. Yeah, the real deal.
Yeah.
Loved that.
I loved it, too. I think that was really what turned me on to the Beatles. I mean, there was two or three songs on there that you had heard of, but then you listen to that song, then the next one, I said, these songs are freaking great.
Yeah, very cool stuff. And, of course, Baby, You Can Drive My Car fits in with today's theme. And we're going to take another quick break and come back with the Jabber quote.
Need more Big JD? Go to BigJD.com. Check out the program guide there for all the shows that I host and the shows I host with Lippo, as well the blog, merchandise, and more. BigJD.com.
Be sure to catch the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo, Sunday mornings live at 11 a.m. Eastern here on WKBR.ca.
It's 12:14 Eastern Standard Time. And this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of used automobiles. You can find them there at their car lot at the corner of Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California. Steve and Larry's used auto sales.
If they can't beat your best deal,
no one can. Okay, what the bummer part about an automobile show is there's no Mark Twain or George Washington or Thomas Jefferson quotes.
Ben's quotes.
I have to bend and quote at the same time. I like a nice short. I have two.
Or driving. There's driving quotes.
Oh, driving quotes. Never thought of that. Oh, I should have thought of that. Bummer! But anyway, a business is like an automobile. It has to be driven in order to get results.
Well, that would be great for the business show.
Thanks. Irma Bombeck says car designers are just going to have to come up with an automobile that outlasts the payments.
Yeah, that's there's some truth to that. Irma Bombeck, the author.
She's an author, yes. Yeah. She had a lot of life lessons, I guess. But that's...
And there's one for you.
That's right. I just, in a car ad, I just recently saw 84-month term for paying off your car.
Yeah.
84 months. What is that? That's
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. That's
pretty sweet. I got a 10-year deal with my motorcycle.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Started out with pretty low payments. Like just, I don't know, $275 a month.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
No money down.
Yeah. I had some money down too. They were expensive, man.
Obviously.
Harleys cost a lot of money.
I think that like it was... like $80 a month for 84 months. I'm like, that's crazy.
It's beautiful though.
It's beautiful. I think for a bike, it's good.
Yeah, but even for a car, I mean, so you're paying that long, but that's cheap payments on a lease. That's probably covered under warranty to some degree for 7 years. Like the warranties are getting long too now.
Yeah, but no, it ain't.
It's cool. What's wrong with that?
Because the car won't last.
It's not yours. It's a lease. You drive it into the ground.
No, this is a purchase
thing. Okay, purchase. Yeah. Well, even that, though, I mean, 7 years payments and a 7 year warranty. I mean, that's not bad.
But you're not going to get it's not a 17 year
warranty. Lana's is like she just bought the Patriot, Jeep Patriot, and got, a 5 year term and a 5 year warranty and oil change tire rotation for the life of the vehicle. Like, that's sweet, man.
5 years is. Manageable,
but even two, if everything's covered, like what's another 2 years of decent payment and whatever, and then you do whatever after you get a new vehicle or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not bad, and it keeps your payments down. If they have lower payments than the 5 years for 7 years, like that's pretty cool. I think I'm into that.
You're down with that?
I'm down with it.
All right.
So anyway, I guess that's about all we have time for today.
Yep. My son wants me to drive him to his girlfriend's house.
Okay, that's why we're out of time. Lippo every week. No. And what's going on next week? That's the 100th show next week.
No, I'm going to go golfing next week.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, and then the week after that, I'm going to the races. And then, no, I'm just kidding. It's the 100th show.
We're going to have to start doing the shows on the golf course.
We should do a show on the golf course. Not.
That's boring.
Yeah, you don't like golf. I'm a golfaholic. But I'm not going today, unfortunately.
It's a crappy day out anyway.
We're going to have my dad over for his birthday.
Cool. Record a new show? No. How old is he?
84.
Happy birthday to Harry.
Thank you. I'll tell him you said that. Cool. So next week is the 100th show.
Yeah. So are we going to be able to pull that off, finding a little bit of nostalgic stuff for the shows here? Because you know how we are with our show notes and our... My neck's going to be sore after. I'm slowly... the thing's been sliding down for the hour. And I'm going lower and lower for the microphone here, so...
Well,
is that what we're going to do for the show? Let's make sure everybody knows. Are we going to pull out some...
or should we just leave stuff in suspense? Nostalgic hat?
Well, we could do that too, I guess, but I'd like to know myself.
Well, what are you doing? You're shopping your book. You're recording this thing.
Gigglebutton.com.
Gigglebutton.com.
I just put out a CD. You can go to CD Baby and CDBaby.com and purchase my double album.
Debut. Jeffrey David Blues Connection.
Yeah, Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. You can just search that there at CD Baby. I'm not sure if it's out yet at iTunes. I have to search and see. I think it takes a little time, but iTunes, Amazon, everywhere.
CD Baby does all that for you, yes.
Yep, yep. Distribution companies.
Actually, I was just listening to that the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Very interesting. If you like rock and heavy blues.
Yeah. It's the new thing.
It's
what everybody's after right now.
Pedal extravaganza.
It is. It's the guitar. Yeah, a lot of guitar, a lot of wah pedal, and I just went to town with my Jeffrey Teese pedal, who makes amazing wahs for a lot of people. And you can search Jeffrey Teese on Google, man, and check out his pedals because they're incredible. They're fully programmable yourself. You just open it up and play with everything.
Play around.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you can do that. Anything else that we want them to know about anything? BorderCityRadioPodcast.com. You can still go there and check out the shows anyway and subscribe if you know, especially new listeners. And Harry's Philosopher's Corner right from the iTunes store. Let them know about everything. Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show.
BigJD.com.
There you go.
Find it all there.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week for the 100th show, and I'm not sure exactly what we'll have planned for that show, but I think we're going to try and put in some nostalgic tidbits from our previous shows gone by, so that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for listening.
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.